name of God, the Father, light, creator, the Son of God, light of light, begotten, and the Holy Spirit, the light revealer. Amen. Amen. Dear hearers of God's strong word and worshipers of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we especially consider today the gospel reading, especially these words found on your bulletin cover and in the gospel lesson. The man believed the word Jesus had spoken to him and went on his way, or as your bulletin cover says, the man took Jesus at his word and departed. Dear saints, you live a life of rhythm. Genesis has a life of rhythm, and it was good. God said so, and it was good, and it was very good. You have your rhythm in the morning. You have your morning routine when you eat. Dear saints, we consider today that our Lord has a rhythm for you as well to strengthen your faith. As the shampoo bottle says, rinse, wash, and repeat as needed. Your faith will need strengthened in this rhythm until the Lord can say no longer of you, O ye of little faith, and that will be when you die. It is a rhythm of hearing the word of Jesus. And then in hearing the word of Jesus, of being driven deeper into Jesus' word and the receiving of his sacrament and prayer, and it is being driven deeper by the sufferings and the struggles of this life. It is a rhythm of believing Jesus' word and struggling with doubt, of faith and of unbelief, until the Holy Spirit finally works in you a faith that simply takes Jesus at his word and goes on your way. All throughout your bulletin are these little blurbs from Martin Luther. He wrote it in a preface to Psalm 119, the longest of the Psalms, and it is all a meditation on God's word. And Luther's theme is, what makes a theologian? And you are a theologian, dear saints. As you hear God's word and as you pray, we are all theologians. And Luther says what makes a theologian is this rhythm of oratio, meditatio, and tentatio. They're Latin, so I sound smart to you. But they're very simple. And it is the way that God uses you and his word to strengthen your faith. You don't have to know Latin to know this. But it is a praying, oratio. It is of hearing God's word, meditatio, of repeating God's word over and over and over and over and over and again, of allowing God's word to sink deep into the heart. Old Lutheran prayers prayed something like that, that the word would be allowed to go from the ear to the heart, and from the heart to the lips, and from the lips to the life. It is of hearing that over and over again. Thy strong word bespeaks us righteous, our hymn said. Say that over and over and over again. His strong word declares you righteous, but I don't look righteous. But his strong word declares you righteous, but I don't feel righteous. But his strong word declares you righteous, until you allow that word to pass from your ear into the heart, and from the heart to the lips, and from the lips to the life, and you in fact live righteous as well. Oratio, meditatio, from the lips to the life, and in that life we tentatio. We struggle. We suffer. We struggle in our bodies, and we struggle in our souls. And we struggle in our vocations, and we struggle with faith and hope and love. As husbands and as wives, as fathers and as mothers, as sons and as daughters, as workers and as friends and as fellow hearers in this community of this church, we struggle with the devil and with sin and with death. And then God uses this exhausting struggle to then force us back into his word, to meditate on his promises and his wise commands for us. So it passes from the ear to the heart, from the heart to the lips, and from the lips to the life. It is the rhythm that makes you stronger in him. A rhythm that is absolutely exhausting, but always invites you to come to Jesus for rest. Our gospel text shows a man who has heard Jesus' word, heard about the signs that Jesus did when he was first at Cana in Galilee, where he made the water wine, and he believed Jesus. And so he went to Jesus in the struggle, in the suffering, in the temptation. The text says that his son was at the point of death. How much more suffering can you get than that? For your son to be at the point of death. Real temptation there to despair. Real struggle in this life. Quite literally, it means his son is destined to die. He is facing death. You know those pictures, those posters on the TV in which the MMA fighters or the boxers go nose to nose with each other and they're sitting there staring at each other? This is what the son is doing right then with death. The undefeated champion of death, staring death in the face. And we know that this great suffering, this great struggle, this great burden of his son facing death, and the great helplessness and the great hopelessness that he felt, drew the official to Jesus. His tentatio, his struggle, drew him back into the rhythm of hearing more of God's word and of praying and of meditating. The text says, when the man heard that Jesus had come down from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Dear saints, let this man be an example for you. Let suffering and struggle and temptation draw you closer to Jesus, not away from him. Your Jesus has come down. He is so near you. You have access to God through Christ. You can go up to God in suffering-filled and struggle-filled prayer because God has come down to you in his Son and in his Word and in the giving of his body and of his blood today. The official had heard the word. He had meditated on the word. And then in the struggle, the suffering drives him back to the word made flesh, dwelling among him. And God do the same for you. The prayer, though, is not without struggle, too. For this man, or for you, Jesus' response seems harsh. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe, Jesus says to the man. Jesus is always good, but his word is not always easy. While this man believes, he will need help with his unbelief. We can't bully Jesus around. We can't control Jesus. And in faith, we ought not want to. We ought simply to trust in Jesus and his will. The man probably should have prayed something like this: Lord, my son is dying. Heal him, please. Because the rest of the text makes clear that the request for Jesus to come down was not necessary. Jesus could have simply, and does simply, speak the word. And his son lives. His word is creative. Let there be light, and there is light. His word is creative. Believe, and you do. His word is creative. Light in your soul, life-giving, your sins forgiven, really, really gone. Jesus bore them. His word is strong. Thy strong word did cleave thy darkness. At thy speaking, it was done. So be strong in the Lord and stand in the strength of his might, our epistle said, and you do, because his word gives it to you to stand in him and his strength. The Father hears this word. Go. Your son will live. And as he was going, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked him the hour that he began to get better. And they said to him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. And the father knew that was the hour that Jesus had said to him, your son will live. That was the hour. That was the instant. That was the moment. Your son will live, and he lives. Let there be light, and there is light. Let there be fish in the sea, and there is fish in the sea, and it is good. Now, dear saints, I want you to picture this. I want you to picture the trip that the father makes to go see Jesus. Because the text says yesterday at that hour, so we know this was a long trip, a day's walk at least. And as he's going there, he is doing that. Rhythm. Oratio, meditatio, tentrago. He is letting God's word sing into his ears and from his lips to the lips and from the lips to the life or whatever that prayer is that is at the bottom of your bullet. You know what I mean. But he's repeating it. He's going to Jesus and he must be saying it over and over and over again. He's saying, Jesus, you made water into wine, so come down and heal my son, for he's at the point of death. Jesus, you made water into wine. I heard about it. I heard about the sign. I heard your word. You made water into wine, so come down and heal my son, for he is at the point of death, as he's going to Jesus. And then Jesus gives him the word, and as he's walking back, he must have been doing the same. It says, the man believed the word Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. He took Jesus at his word. He must have been walking that day's journey and said, but Jesus said, go, your son will live. Jesus said, go, your son will live. But what if he's dead? But Jesus said, go, your son will live. But what if I didn't do enough? I asked wrongly. What if Jesus is mad at me? Go, your son will live, Jesus had said. What if Jesus can't do it? Jesus said, go, your son will live. But what if Jesus is a liar? It says the text, the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. Go, your son will live. The rhythm of believing, of hearing, of struggling, of hearing and of believing and doubting, of hearing and believing and being attacked by the sinful flesh, and of hearing and believing of being attacked by the devil. This, dear saints, is no accident that you have in your life. It is what makes you a theologian. It is what makes you stronger. It is what strengthens your faith. It is what helps you stop relying on yourself and more firmly relying in him and his strong word. So hear and believe and go on your way. Take Jesus at his word and depart. God has given you a word to hear and to believe and to take into your struggle to strengthen you. For you, dear saints, depart in peace. You, dear saints, go in peace. You, dear saints, have the Lord blessing you and keeping you and give you peace. So hear it and believe it and go and struggle with it. In Jesus' name, amen.